Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Grateful, thankful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. And all I can say is, it is a what? Great word. It's a great word. And we are going to move forward as we always do, because God is good and His mercy endures forever and all time. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning humbly asking that you increase as we decrease, Father, asking that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, Lord God, be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you are my strength and you are my redeemer. I cannot do this without you, Father. And I ask you, Father God, that everything that is said to come from you and not from me. Lord God, let this word touch hearts, minds, and spirits, that someone who may not know you will get to know you through your word that I read this day. Lord God, let this Bible study be productive. In Jesus' name, Lord, I lift up, giving you honor, glory, and praise, and giving you the highest praise of hallelujah. And it's in the name of Christ Jesus I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the honor, of all the glory, of all the praise. Hallelujah. Giving honor to the Most High God. You know, I loved yesterday's word when it talked about hearing the voice of God. And I just want to go over that life example one time, and then we're going to get into our word this morning. And one of the things it says is one of the mightiest prophets of the Old Testament. It is no coincidence that Samuel's first divine assignment called for him to learn how to hear God's voice, recognize it for what it was. As 1 Samuel 3:1-10 tells us, a young Samuel, entrusted to the care of Eli the priest, was lying down one evening when the Lord spoke. At first, Samuel didn't know who he was hearing. He thought Eli was calling him. But finally, after Eli told Samuel 3 times that he hadn't called, Eli realized that it was the voice of the Lord. So he instructed the boy to respond, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Do we have a "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears" this morning? That is a great word. And then it goes on to say, isn't that a beautiful way to answer God? Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Eli taught Samuel how to listen to God, and Samuel became established as God's prophet. So when the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant and Eli and his 2 sons died, Samuel knew what to do, and Israel knew who to listen to. In the midst of great turmoil, Samuel was able to hear the voice of the one he loved and served faithfully. If we're going to be men and women of God, we too must learn how to recognize God's effort to speak to us. However, we can't wait until the maelstrom strikes to do so. It's when we lie restfully in the quiet moments that we should turn our attention to God and say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." Because in those tranquil moments that we can embark and embrace the one who calls us, that he can teach our hearts to love and obey him. speak, Lord. For your servant here. And I pray we are hearing the voice of God. And as we are finishing up in our word this morning, we will have our prayer and our supplication to the Lord. You know, whatever it is that God wants us to do, we must learn to say, speak, Lord, for your servant here. Are you listening this morning? Are your ears open to receive a word from the Lord today? Are we listening? Are we looking up? The word that God gave me this morning was, when in doubt, look up. When in doubt, look up. And as we get into our word this morning, we're going to talk about the ark. Because we know that the Philistines took the ark. Eli and his sons died. It went to different places, and the Lord brought plagues to them. You know, we know one got tumors, and I think in yesterday's lesson we talked about the tumors and the rats. You know, and how Dagon bowing down to them in their temple. They thought they was all that. And going to stick the ark of the Lord in with Dagon, their little G of a statue god. And before everything was said and done, Dagon's hair was off. His arms was broke, and he was, looked like he was bound down to the Most High God's ark of the covenant. So it was like one of those things where, we got to get this thing out of here. And so let's get into our word this morning. As the Philistines are getting the ark out of their country because they were tired. And so it says this. Now the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. And the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners, saying, what shall we do with the ark of the Lord? Tell us now. We should send it to its place. So they said, if you send it away, the ark of the God of Israel, do not send it empty. All means return it to him with a trespass offering. Then you will be healed, and it will be known to you why his hand is not removed from you. Then they said, what is the trespass offering which we should return to him? They answered, 5 golden tumors and 5 golden rats, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines, for the same plague was on all of you and on all your lords. The Lord did not play. He did not play. Because the Lord God, he doesn't play. He tells you what it is, and what it is how it is. You know, God did not have any issues with letting the Israelites understand and know, I don't play. And letting the Philistines know, this is my covenant with Israel, and I will mess you up. And that's what he did. They didn't know how to look up. They didn't know how to do anything except for we caught it. We got their power. We got their this. And what happened? They did not understand what happened to them. What it said in the answer, let the ark of God of Israel carried away to death. So they carried the ark of God of Israel away. So it was after they had carried it away that the hand of the Lord was against the city with a very great destruction. And he struck the men of the city, both small and great, with tumors. They got tumors. They got rats. They, God did not play. And so they're like, oh, it's got to go. They was getting, I think they was probably getting the ark away from them as quick as they could. 7 months of crazy. And they was like, oh, no, we can't handle this. Remember what happened to the Egyptians. We don't want that to happen to us. And let's keep it going. In verse number 4 says, then they said, what is the trespass offering which we shall return to him? They answered, 5 golden tumors and 5 golden rats, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines. But the same plague was on all of you and on your lords. Therefore you shall make images of your tumors and of your rats that ravage the land, and you shall give glory to the God of Israel. Perhaps he will lighten his hand from you, from your gods, and from your land. Why then do you harden your heart as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts? Then, when he did mighty things among them, did they not let the people go, that they might depart? Now, therefore, make a new cart. Take two male cows from which have never been yoked, and hatch the cows to the cart, and take their calves home away from them. Then take the ark of the Lord and set it on the cart, and put the articles of gold which you are returning to him as a trespass offering in a chest by its side. Then send it away and let it go, and watch if it goes up the road to its own territory to Beth Shemesh, then he has done us this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it is not him, not his hand that struck us. It happened to us by chance. Then the men did so. They took two milk cows and hitched them to the cart and shut up their calves at home. And they set the ark of the Lord on the cart and the chest with the gold rats and the image of their tumors. Then the cows headed straight for the road to Beth Shemesh and went along the highway lowing as they went, and did not turn aside to the right hand or the left, and the lords of the Philistines went after them to the border of Beth Shemesh. Now the people of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley, and they lifted their eyes and saw the ark and rejoiced to see it. Then the cart came into the field of Joshua of Beth Shemesh, and stood there. A large stone was there. So they split the wood of the cart and off the cows as a burnt offering to the Lord. The Levites took down the ark of the Lord and the chest that was with it, and which were the articles of gold, and put on the large stone. Then the men of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and made sacrifices the same day to the Lord. So when the five lords of the Philistines had seen it, they returned to Ekron that same day. These are the golden tumors which the Philistines returned as a trespass offering to the Lord. One was for Ashdod, one for Gaza, one for Ashkelon, one for Gath, one for Ekron, and the golden rats according to the number of all the cities of the Philistines belonging to the five lords, both 45 cities and country villages, even as far as the large stone of Abel, on which they set the ark of the Lord, which stone remains to this day in the field of Joshua ben Shemesh. Then he struck the men of Beth Shemesh because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. He struck 50,070 men of the people, and the people lamented because the Lord had struck the people with a great slaughter. And the men of Beth Shemesh said, who is able to stand before the holy Lord God? And to whom shall it go up from us? Messengers to the inhabitants of Kirjath-Jearim, saying, the Philistines have brought back the ark of the Lord. Come down and take it up with you. Now understand, nothing would have happened in Beth Shemesh but blessings. But they got nosy. They didn't look up. They didn't look up in doubt. They didn't ask God. They didn't ask to speak, Lord. They just decided they was going to be nosy. I'm going to look inside. And we all know curiosity killed the cat. Curiosity killed that cat. And they understand they should never have messed with the ark of the Lord. First and foremost, they were not Levites. They were just men being nosy. And because of the nosiness of a few, it caused the death of a many. We cannot be so inquisitive, got to meddle where we don't need to be meddling. We cannot be busybodies. We need to be looking up for Jesus instead of meddling where we don't have any business. You know, folks meddling around in the occult don't know what they're dealing with, but oh, I just want to see what this Ouija board says. No, don't do it. Oh, well, I'm going to go see what this tarot card reader tells me because, you know, I just want to know. No, don't do it. Oh, wait a minute. Let me go and see what the psychic casters say about me. No, don't do it. I want to talk to my husband. No, you don't. He dead. You don't need to talk to him again. And I'm speaking from that experience. No, I did not go to a meeting. And no, I did not ask to speak to my dead husband. Even though God did show him to me and I did speak with him. But it was not with no medium. It was all God. And that was because he was calling me. What's such a time as this? And I got a glimpse of something beautiful. God will send you where you want to go, where he wants you to go. He will let you see what he needs you to see. But folks need to don't play and don't mess with what is God. God killed 50, you think this through, because of nosiness. 50,070 men died from being nosy. Mind your own business. Mind your own business. As my mom says, mind your business 6 months of the year and mind your business the other 6 months of the year. And guess what? All 12 months of the year, you will be minding your own business. Didn't need the medal. 50,000 folks plus died because of nosy rosy. We got to stop. And so now they like, oh, this thing got to come out of here. Nope. Let it go. Let it go. It don't need to be over here. Let it go. And so this is what it says. And then the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and took the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab on the hill and consecrated Elijah, his son, and kept the ark of the Lord. So it was that the ark remained in Kirjath-Jearim a long time. And it was there 20 years. And all the house of Israel a minute after the Lord. Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Asherah among you and prepare your hearts for the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. So the children of Israel put away the Baals and the Asherah and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you. So they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water and poured it out before the Lord, and they fasted that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord, and Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. Now when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel, and when the children of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. So the children of Israel said to Samuel, do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a suckling lamb, and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Now as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel, but the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far as Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shin and called its name Ebenezer, saying, this far the Lord has helped us. So the Philistines were subdued, and they did not come anymore into the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Then the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Akron to Gath, and Israel recovered its territories from the hands of the Philistines. Also, there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. He went from year to year on a circuit to Bethel, Gilgal, Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places. But he always returned to Ramah, for his home was there. There he judged Israel, and there he built an altar to the Lord. What a word. God, he spoke to Samuel, and Samuel, listen, are we listening to the voice of God? Are we saying, speak, Lord, today? For your servant here. And some life lessons from Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 6 is this, and chapter 7 is chapter 6:19. He struck the men of Beth-Shemesh because they had looked in the ark of the Lord. In his grace, God brought the ark back to Israel, but in his holiness, he struck down some Israelites who treated the ark as a curiosity rather than as a symbol of God's glory. Can I say that again? They treated it like a curiosity rather than as a symbol of God's glory. 1 Samuel 7:3, if you return to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign God. And it says, God demands and deserves our exclusive loyalty and love. He made us from himself. And we have no higher calling than to draw near to him. Are you drawing near to God today? Are you looking up? Look up when you're in doubt. Look up when you're thinking. Look up and just talk to God. He's there. He's with you. Wherever you go, just look up. Jesus is coming back from up, not over to the left, not to the right. Not looking down, not looking sideways, not looking behind you, not to the north, not to the east, not to the west, not to the south. Look up. And again, look up and know that there is only one Savior, and his name is Jesus Christ. And as we go into our, continuing our Old Testament words, in Psalm chapter 55, so please join me in Psalms chapter 55, verses 1 through 8. So the 55th Psalm says, to the chief musician with string instruments, a contemplation of David. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint and mourn noisily because of the voice of the enemy. Because of the oppression of the wicked. But they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearlessness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. So I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. From the windy storm and tempest. He said, if he had wings to fly, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. I think we all have those days that we would like to have wings of a dove and fly away and be at rest. Because you're just doggone tired. Tired of being tired of being tired of foolishness. Because folks is acting up. And as we look around our world this day, we see a whole bunch of acting up. And we just want to just fly away and rest somewhere away from all the turmoil of confusion. The ball of confusion is the temptation saying back in my day. That's what the world is today. And as we go to Psalm 56, Psalm 6, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. When the walls close in and the floor gives way, we often wish we could be somewhere else, anywhere, but where God has put us. Trusting God out ever means looking beyond what we can see to what God sees. We got to look beyond what is our today to what will be our tomorrow. So when you're in doubt, look up. Look up and know that Jesus is coming back. When no one knows but God. But he will be back. And the one thing I can say without any doubt in my mind is that he loves us. And he wants the best for us. And he wants us to be able to achieve great things. And our proverb today is Proverbs 15 and 14. The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. And, you know, I can tell, I'll tell anybody this. One thing about Proverbs is it keeps, it so real that you would think that David and Solomon and all those that wrote it today, that it is a today word, that somebody had to pen these words today, that this cannot be something that was written thousands and thousands of years ago, but that it had to have been written yesterday, because we see it every time you turn on the television, every time your phone pops up with news, it seems like it's a mouth of foolishness. The mouth of fools feeds foolishness. And you're like, what? Your hand goes over your face and you say, really? How can you believe this nonsense? How can you repeat this foolishness? You know, some of the things is just foolishness. And you're like, I don't get it. Why are we looking at this mess? Why is this mess popping up? I don't look at this. You know, because they have these algorithms that they try to pull you in to mess. You know, it's to the point where you just want to say, I'm cutting my phone off. And I will turn it on when I need to make a phone call. Because it is a whole bunch of crazy when you least expect it. And then you get the spammy calls and the folks wanting to tell you that your insurance on your car has expired when you don't longer even have the car. I haven't had the car in 5 or 6 years, but the insurance on your car is expired. The warranty, no, not the insurance. The warranty on your car has expired. What car? What warranty? My car is new. So how could the warranty have expired? Excuse me. No, I don't own that car anymore. So how could the warranty of the goofiness goes on? But as the word of God says, again, if you are looking for something, you can find it in the word of God. If there's a phrase you want to say that just deals with absolute nonsense, you can go right to the word. The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge. You want to seek knowledge. But then, here it comes. But the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. You know, let me go tell Sister Susie about such and such and such. Well, you know, Sister Wanda was talking about you, Sister Susie, and this is what she said. Now, you're not telling what you were saying about Sister Susie. That even opened the conversation to Sister Wanda. You only telling what Sister Wanda had to say because you are a foolish busybody. You know, folks want to talk all the time about goofy stuff. And your mind is saying, help me, Jesus, to get away from this nonsense. As you grow in the Lord, you also grow in not having a tolerance for foolishness. You want folks to get out what they got to say and then so you can move forward. You don't have time for he said, she said. Because all he said, she said does is create confusion within the body of Christ. If you don't have, and it goes back to the time of all of us that are of a certain age, and hopefully of our young people. If you don't have anything nice to say, keep your tongue behind your teeth. That's what I have to say. Keep your tongue behind your teeth. If you don't have anything nice to say about Sister Susie, because, see, you happen to know that Sister Susie has gone through some stuff. You happen to know that Sister Susie had a drinking problem, and God delivered her from it. You happen to know that Sister Susie lost some children. You happen to know that Sister Susie is a good person that will give you the shirt off her back, because when you was going through, she did just that. So you know some things about Sister Susie, but you also know that she doesn't suffer fools lightly, and that if somebody came with her with some foolishness, that she was going to tell them about themselves and keep it moving, because she done been there, done that, had the T-shirt of life and didn't want to deal with that craziness. So you know some stuff, and so you know when somebody coming to you with that foolishness, that's what it is, foolishness. And we got to learn how to sometimes nip that stuff in the bud. You got to just say, you know what, sis, I love you, but I don't want to hear that today. I don't need to know about what Sister Susie said, what Sister Susie did. I don't need to know what Sister Wanda had to say about Sister Susie, because everybody knows Sister Wanda is a busybody. You already know Sister Wanda likes to keep mess started. But now she's messing with Sister Susie. You ready to say, uh-uh, not today, devil. Because Sister Susie means a lot to you. You know, we got those women in our churches that mean a lot to us. And you don't want to hear nobody talking about them. So you got to look up. You got to tell them all and say, listen, I'm not going to talk about that. I'm not talking about her. You don't know her story. You need to go sit down someplace. You know, and it's always somebody trying to get in a crowd. They have something to say. I don't know where this is going, and I don't know why God gave it to me. But whoever it's for, understand. The Lord is not pleased when we become busybodies. He wants us to love each other and to be caring and considerate. And if you don't have anything nice, just tell them behind your teeth. So let's get into our next word, which is coming out of Luke chapter 21. And it says this, starting at verse 20, it says, but when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, now understand, this is a prophetic word. This word that I'm about to read is prophecy. It's prophecy given for our generation, maybe, for our children, our grandchildren. We don't know when this is coming. But we also know that this did happen at a point in history when Jerusalem was lost after the Romans. And this is what it says, but when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. Then let those who see in Judah, are in Judah, flee to the mountains, that those who are in the midst of our depart, and let not those who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, and all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. But there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon the people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, stars. I'm going to read that again, starting at verse 24. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. But the powers of the heavens will be winding down. Look up. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Do you feel it? Do you feel it? That one day we're going to look up and we're going to see Jesus coming. Coming to protect. Coming to destroy. Coming to heal. Coming to repay. Coming to snatch up his children. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up. Lift up your head because your redemption draws near. Then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees when they are already budding. You see and know for yourself that summer is near, now near. So you also, when you set these things happen, see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. And they have not. Let your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. But it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. And in the daytime, he was teaching in the temple. But at night, he went out and stayed on the mountain called Olivet. Then early in the morning, all the people came to him in the temple to hear him. Jesus spoke prophecy. He spoke his own prophetic word. He told us to watch as well as pray. He told us what to do. He told us to get ready. Are you backpack? Are you looking up? Are you ready for his return? When in doubt, family, look up. And ask, Lord, speak to me, God. Your servant hears you. Are you listening today? Are you asking God today? Show me what to do. Do yours. Speak to me today. For your servant hears you. Are we listening today? And as we go through our last life lesson for this morning, Luke chapter 21, verse 34, take heed to yourselves, lest the day come on you unexpectedly. A constant awareness that the Lord could return at any time keeps us spiritually alert, helps to make us productive for the kingdom of God. When we forget about the second coming, we become spiritually lazy. Don't forget. Don't become lazy. Jesus is coming back. The question is, will we be ready? Luke chapter 21, verse 36, pray always. Pray always. For the Holy Spirit, pray always that you may be counted worthy to all these things that will come to pass. Pray that you are worthy to escape tribulation. God himself instructs us to pray that we might escape certain kinds of trials and tribulations. We need faith to bear up under suffering, and we need faith to pray that God might spare us the necessary suffering. When in doubt, look up and remember that Jesus is coming back for you. That's all I have this morning in our word. I have a prayer and a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, and our prayer for this morning. Believe it or not, this second day of May, we are already in a new month. Wow. Time is flying. And it's this. We have freedom now because Christ made us free. So stand strong. Do not change and go back into the slavery of the law. And I'm going to say that one more time. We have freedom now because Christ made us free. Do not change and go back into slavery of the law. Galatians 5:1, NCB. And it says this, Redeemer, you are the chain-breaking freedom fighter for every soul. Your lavish love fueled your journey on this earth, clothed in flesh and bone. Jesus, thank you for the sacrifice of your life. And even more, that it didn't stop at death. You rose again, defeating the grave and setting us free from sin and shame. Let me stand strong on the foundation of your love, not going back to a life dictated by rules that don't bring life. I want to read that again. Let me strong on the foundation of your love, not going back to life dictated by rules that don't bring life. May your resurrection life and power be the moving force of my life. Whenever I get stuck, remembering I am not a slave to the fear that would keep me captive. I am free because you set me free. May I never go back to living with the limitations that keep love from spreading. I look to you, my victorious one, as the example of the life I want to live. May I not be small-minded or cold-hearted. And a life lesson for this morning, a lesson and just a word to think about. As I say, chew upon this word this morning. Are you living bound to the law, or are you living in the freedom that Christ offers? And a word this morning from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, today. And Sister Carolyn's word is this. Good morning. There is nothing that you will ever go through whereas God is not with you. He cares about everything that concerns you. Have more of God. And I say again, when in doubt, look up. Thank you so much, family. That is all the word we have today. It's a short word. Thank you, Jesus. God is in charge of everything, and he knows that I got to go to work. So I thank God for the word this morning. I thank God for each and every one of you. If there's anyone that God has put a word in your heart, please push the number 1 on your phone. And please share our number with others, which is 213-943-3597, if you'd like to call in. Or if you listen on social media, I am on Twitter at MinisterB_TalksWord, as well as on Facebook. Facebook is private, so I do not give that one out, but I do share with my family and friends on Facebook. So I thank all of you. Again, if there's anyone that has a word that God has given you, or if you just have a word that you just want to share, now is the time, because we are about to wrap it up. So no callers wanting to speak today, so thank you all again joining us this morning. I pray that you got a word that touched your heart. I pray that God is watching over you and that God is blessing you with overflow blessings that can only come from him. And as we say every day, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In the presence and holy name of Christ Jesus, again, I lift you up and ask God to watch over you and cover you in his loving wings. In Jesus' name, be blessed, my family. Have a wonderful day. It is the day that the Lord has made, and we are all rejoicing and glad in it. Thank you so much. Join me tomorrow as we continue in our Bible study in 1 Samuel chapter 8 and 9, the 55th Psalm verses 9 through 15, Proverbs chapter 15, verses 15 through 17. We will be instilling Luke chapter 22 on tomorrow, verses 1 through 23. If you'd like to read those verses or those words before tomorrow, again, 1 Samuel chapter 8 through chapter 9, verse 27, 55th Psalm, verses 9 through 15, Proverbs 15, chapter verses 15 through 17, and Luke chapter 22, verses 1 through 23. God willing, we'll be back together 7, 8 a.m. Central Standard Time. Thank you again so much for joining me for Bible study. Have a blessed and wonderful day. It's time for this host to go to work. Love you all. Be blessed and have a great day again. It's a wrap.